Good morning again. Happy having you here all. The room is filling up, which is nice. Michael Schröder will give you a presentation about the capabilities of the OpenSUSE build services, the feature set, and how to build packages for your distributions. Michael?
Thank you. Okay, let's start with the second talk about the build service. First, here's a short outline about the presentation. First, I would like to tell you a bit how to manage projects in the build service, what they are for, how you can use them to build for multiple distributions, and how to get more complex settings to stack projects on top of each other. Okay, the second part will be how you control the setup of the build environment. The build environment is the change root environment where packages are built, and this part is about what do you do if you want to put a specific package in there, and how the automatic package expansion, and I told you in the last talk about works, and what do you do if there arises some problems, like if there are big ambiguities, the system doesn't like ambiguities and calls an error message. And the other thing that can happen is that too many packages get pulled in. So I tell you about how you can block some dependencies. And then there's another feature that's automatic package name writing that is useful if the package name of package was changed. Maybe different distributions use different package names, or maybe an older version of SUSE Linux or some other distribution has another name than a new version. Package renaming does happen. And the last part of the talk will be about installations. Scriptlets and the differences they have between the distributions that are the standard pre and post install scripts. RPM does, and Debian does something similar. So we run into the same problems here, and I'll tell you a set of macros we defined in the OpenSUSE system so that the scriptlets works for standard issues like adding services or adding new users. Okay. So. First, how do we build with the build service for multiple distributions? First of all, the distribution is handled like just another package. So at the moment we have five complete distributions in it. That's SUSE Factory, SUSE 10.0, Mandrita, and Fedora Core. Our last but not least, Debian Edge. That is the testing distribution of Debian, current testing. And it's a little text issue here. I'm not sure which to activate, but no, let's do it just like that. Okay, and what you can do here is you can, if you start a new project like KDE4, you can base it on another distribution, like for example SUSE Linux 10.0. What this based on means is that if packages of KDE4 need to be built and packages aren't in this project, they are taken from the SUSE Linux 10.0. distributions, or like compilers maybe, or the glibc, of course they aren't in the KDE4 project, so they'll be taken from SUSE Linux 10.0. Okay, this is just one distribution. Now you may probably ask yourself, so this is one package, one distribution. How can you use it to start from multiple distributions? To make that happen, we need repositories. So every project has a repository. A repository is basically where the RPMs get stored. So in our example, KDE4, let's start with SUSE Linux 10.0, has a repository called standard. This standard repository contains all the RPMs of the SUSE Linux 10.0 distribution. And then we have the KDE4 project, where the project maintainers decided they would like a repository called SUSE Linux 10.0, where the KDE4 the build KDE4 RPMs get stored for the SUSE Linux 10.0 distribution. And they say this repository is based on the standard repository of 10.0. Now, this scheme helps in one regard. You can put more than one repository in a project and thus build for more than one distribution. I'll show you that in the next slide. Here, that's the KDE4 project again, and the project maintainers added a repository called Edge, which is supposed to hold all the RPMs built for in the KDE4 project for the Debian Edge distribution.
And to do so, they add a second link and say that the Edge repository should use the depth files of the standard repository of the Debian Edge project. So that's how you build for multiple distributions and also the build service. And because of this, all the packages in KDE4 get built for SUSE Linux 10.0 with the standard repository and for Debian Edge with also a standard repository. Of course, you can also add more repositories to build for all the SUSE Linux versions or for Mandriva and so on. But what you're not seeing here is that every repository can also have multiple architectures. So you can also build for PowerPC or Intel 64-bit, AMD 64 and so on. Okay. You saw that Debian repository here, because Debian is a little bit different than all the RPM-based distros. So if you get RPMs use the spec files, and the spec files, of course, Debian doesn't have that, something like that, and RPM has lots of macros, Debian, as far as I know. If I tell anything about stupid about Debian, please correct me, I'm not that much of a Debian expert here. So Debian doesn't use macros, but has lots of helper scripts in the rules file. The rules file is basically the part of the Debian package where you say how the package gets built and the installation and so on. That's the build part of the spec file. And of course, third point is Debian has different semantics in the scriptlets. So things are pretty different between RPMs and Debian-based distributions. So we decided that we don't try to build Debian packages from spec files or RPMs from Debian sources, but you can put both the Debian and the Debian stuff and the spec file in the same source, and so the build service will pick the right one. So if you build for a distribution that uses dpackage, so it's a Debian based distribution, it will look for a Debian directory and the rules file in that and the DSC file. Or if it builds for an RPM-based distribution, it will look for a spec file and use the spec file to set up the system. So we don't do anything funny here with Alien or so to convert an RPM to a Debian file or vice versa. But we're really setting up a Debian build system and use the Debian tools to build the package. And for RPM-based distributions, we use all the RPM build and so to build the binary packages. Okay, now some more fine parts about package layering. So to come back to our example, here we have the KDE4 people with their SUSE Linux 10.0 repository. And let's say we now have a different project. The Amarok people want to test a new source, so they create an Amarok project on top of it. And of course the Amarok people, this is leading edge technology, want to use the leading edge KDE4 project. So what they do is they base the Amarok 4 project on the KDE4 project. What now happens is that when the system searches for packages, for binary packages to set up the build system, it will first search if the package is in the own repository. If it's not found there, then it follows the error to the SUSE Linux 10.0 repository and searches there if the RPM, or in this case it's RPM, is found there. If it's not found there, it uses the SUSE Linux 10.0 standard repository. So the compiler also, or the glibc, is taken from the SUSE Linux 10.0 project, or the KDE4 stuff is taken from the KDE4 project, and all the Amarok stuff is taken from the local repository. And the Amarok copies only have to add this first error. The second error of dependencies of KDE4 depends on SUSE Linux 10.0 is automatically added. So the system helps you in this regard. Now, let's do something more fancy. Now we have this example again, the Amarok4 people based on Amarok4 projects based on KDE4, and this which in turn is based on SUSE Linux 10.0. Now suppose Amarok4 needs a new Xine library to do some special video and audio processing.
So they need another project. And they do it like this. They just add another dependency here. This is where it's marked as one. This, the order of the dependencies here is important. So if if packages are built now with this setup, the system first looks in the local repository, then looks in the Xen repository of Xen people, and afterwards it looks again on KDE4 repository, and then the system extends out our repository. It doesn't automatically add, do the automatic adding for the Xen stuff, because it would make no sense. Because if we pull in the SUSELink standard repository with the input above, we wouldn't get the KDE stuff from here, because SUSELink standard O also has KDE packages in them. So the automatic dependency adding is only done for the last parts of this path we define here. So to summarize the setup of the projects, this repository search path defines where the build service will take the binary packages if it sets up the build environment. The order is important. The first match when searching for a binary package wins. The current repository is always used first. It always searches in the current repository first, so you don't have to tell the system, look first in my own repository, because it didn't make much sense. And when the last repository entry is found, it does this automatic adding by looking in the search path of this last repository and continuing the search. So this is automatic stuff I told you about. Okay. Now, let's have a look how the build service sets up this build environment. It uses the search path to search for all the binary packages. And of course, the question is, which packages to take from the repositories. To do so, the build service parses the spec file, or in the Debian case, the DSC file. And these both files contain information about which packages to use. In the spec file, normally there are the build requires, which specify which packages are needed for the build. And the Debian forks use something similar. It's called build depends for Debian in the DSC file. And all the packages the build service finds here are added to a base system, which is just the base system contains things like the glibc or the compiler or make tools and so on. So you don't have to specify all the stuff you need normally for package building. This is already set up for you to keep the build requirements more. And the build service then does this package, something that we call the package expansion, that it looks in all the requires of the packages that are needed for the build and checks the packages, the requires of those packages, and keeps on adding packages until all the requirements of the packages are met. So if you use the build script in former times, you have to have this big build requires line which contain every all package like the compiler and so on. We had that for 10.0 and all the other distributions, but in 10.1 we have now this automatic package adding. So this is a new thing. Because there are some disadvantages of this scheme. With this automatic adding, you can pull in unwanted packages. An example would be here in SUSE Linux, our SUSE Linux ttape package contains a requirement on the xorg11 libraries, because the package on SUSE Linux contains the XDVI program. Different distributions have solved it in different ways. The Manduja folks have a different package for the ttape-xdvi that contains this the viewer, but we have everything in one package. And so our ttech package requires xorg-11 libs. Of course, if you just need ttech to build your documentation. Oh, this is funny. Hopefully, here's a place where.
You better change the microphones. Take the other one. This one is too deep.
Am I loud enough to
hear?
Yeah. So can you can go without any microphone at all?
I would prefer it for the camera anyway. So. let's have one more try, please.
Plan B also failed.
So you just speak loud enough.
Has anybody of you a microphone?
No. No more. No more.
Okay. There was a... Oh yes. The package with pulled in the XRPLM libraries. So you don't... Normally you don't want that. You want... The access, such access packages are bad because the setting up of the build costs more time because extra packages have to get installed. And what you also do is, as the packages are built in the order, if you have access packages, your package, it depends on the access packages, will of course only be built after the access packages are built. So if anything changes in the access packages, you have to wait until those packages are built, and then the build server schedules your build, which delays your own build process. So what you want to do normally is want to keep the number of involved packages as small as possible. So it's better for you, it's better for us, because the setup is faster and the packages are built faster. There's also the queue is smaller of the package queue, of the packages built queue. Okay, so how do you do that? How do you get rid of the excess packages? Basically, you have to break this dependency of the package. There are two ways of breaking those dependencies. They can be broken on the project level. That is, that all the packages of the project are affected. Or they can be broken on the package level. That is, you can specify a package so that if you the system has to build this package, then this dependency has to go away. The project level, you can do it by adding such ignore statements to the project configuration. In our case, with the TTEC and the XORG11 libraries, you just add an ignore line that TTEC, you want to ignore the TTEC to XORG11 libs dependency. And it's even easier on the package level, you just say that the build should ignore the XORG11 libraries. This function with the hash bang is needed because RPM doesn't have a build ignore tag, so we had to add something like that. Of course, you could also use build conflicts, but that's normally a different semantics, because if you add a build conflicts XOR11 libs, then the build would work in the build service, but the source RPM that is created would have the conflicts in it, and so you couldn't build it anymore if in the normal system without using the build service or something like the build script. So you should use this build ignore thing instead. Okay, another thing that can happen with the expansion is that you get ambiguities. Ambiguity can happen if more than one package provides something. Like, for example, here's our spec file that contains build requires Apache 2, and you'll get that error that Apache 2 requires something like Apache MPM, that's a multiprocessing module. And you have two choices to solve this. Apache 2 prefork is one module, and Apache 2 worker is another module. And you somehow have to tell the system which of the two possibilities to use. I mean, the system could just pick one, but we want a consistent build. So we instead of just picking one and continuing the build, we print an error message and abort the build. We want consistent builds. So you somehow tell. Have to tell the system which of them to use. You can also do that on the project and on the package level again. For the project level, you can either add a prefer line that is you prefer the both possibilities, you prefer to attach it to prefer package, or you can add something like a negative prefer, you don't want to attach a worker package. Same thing on the package level, but here you can just add a build requires, Apache to prefork, then the ambiguity is solved. You tell the system you want Apache to prefork, and so the ambiguity doesn't happen anymore. Or you can tell it you don't want Apache to worker. So these are the ways to deal with package ambiguities. Good. Then another thing we have was, as I mentioned, the outline was this package name rewriting. The problem is packages get renamed if the packet for the, even when in the old distribution may have other names in the new distribution, or if you use a different distribution, then the packages may be named completely different. Here is an example we have. The kanalibs, or the kana is a Japanese translation helper for the Japanese input methods. And for SUSE systems it's called kana-libs. Fedora has the same thing but with a capital C. Mandriva uses all that has this convention that all libraries start with lib and have the have the major version of the libraries as a suffix to the library, to the package name. And in Debian they have something else still, they added the G at the end of the package name for whatever reason. I didn't find out why it's called libkana1g. Could be, yes, thanks. So we have four different package names for the same package which just contains the kana libraries. And how can we solve this? We can add some substitute statements to the project. And the substitute statement states if the build requires or build depends, say this name is required, it should, the name should be replaced by, and then some packages. There can be more than one package. You can maybe some system has devil packages are needed, and so you can put a library and library minus devil in it, or you can also put nothing at all as replacement. That is, this package doesn't exist in the distribution, and so it should be ignored. And so this is the substitute mechanism that helps you a lot. You can also do something like macros with that. If you always need the same amount of packages, you can define a macro for them and use the macro instead of the substitute mechanism. Good. Now, I told you about all this project configuration. Of course, if you think back to the example, this is where we had three projects layered on top of each other. The KDE 4 is layered on SUSE Linux 10.0, and the AMOLED 4 is layered on KDE 4. Maybe the KDE 4 project now has lots of macros and lots of substitute statements, and AMOLED 4 is based on KDE 4. Of course, what you don't want is that you have to specify every configuration here again in the AMOLED 4 project. So what we're doing here is using the project search path to set up concatenated configuration for the project. So first, the configuration of SUSE Linux 10.0 is taken, then on top of that KDE4, and then AMOLED 4. So the AMOLED 4 project can specify new macros or rewrite macros KDE4 if they don't like from the KDE4 project. So we are using it in this order, that first SUSE Linux 10.0 is taken, then KDE4, then AMOLED. That's probably what is behind here. Unfortunately, the notebook has a different font than I had when I did the presentation. Okay, but sorry for that. Okay, then what I've talked about now was how to set up the build environment, how to layer projects on top of each other. The last part I told you in the outline was how to deal with differences in the scriptlets, that's the pre-imposed transcripts of the packages. Well, I've looked at a lot of packages for this, and the major things that are done in the scriptlets are adding a service to the system, adding a new user and a new group to the system, or adding an info format manual to the system. So info format is this global gear file where all the info pages should be added so that there's a nice index to that. And with the current distributions that we have now in the SUSE build service handles those things very differently. SUSE has macros and some lots of code. Fedora, for whatever reason, uses no macros for this pass, but just has lots of verbatim code that to do that. So I don't know why they do it that way. And Mandriva has macros and the RPM helper programs. So what we're proposing here in the build service is we're giving you a set of standard macros which work on all the project, on all the distributions we have in the build service. Okay, now let's have a look at the first task, adding a service to the system. For SUSE, we have this fill up and insert macro which basically does everything, and it's really a very, very big and complex thing, so it's hard to manage, and of course, because it's so difficult to use, and no other distributions has picked it up, so we are pretty much the only ones that use something like that complex thing. And we're using stop and removal in the pre-uninstall phase and restart and update in the post-uninstall to implement the services starting. Because if you install a newer version of the package, then your service should be restarted so that if you have a security fix, then of course you want to have restart the service so that security fixes apply to the system, so the services that run down work on the old code and still have the security problems. Okay, and this insert cleanup here in the post-uninstall script, this is the macro. Insert is the thing that adds something, services to etc init.d and removes them after they are no longer needed. And insert cleanup does to remove the need. For Mandrake, Mandriva, it's two macros, a post service here in the post uninstall phase and pre-uninstall service in the pre-uninstall phase. And for Fedora or Red Hat, they use chkconfig to add the service and to remove the service and have here service stop and service code restart for the restart thingy. Now, what we are proposing is three new macros, service add, service del pre-un, and service del post-un. We can't use the Mandrake macros here, Mandriva macros, because they have just a pre-uninstall macro and nothing in the post-uninstall. So we need new macros for this. Okay, next thing, adding new user or new groups. SUSE and Fedora are pretty work the same way here. And both use group and direct calls to group add and user add to add groups and users. And Mandrake instead has a pre-user add macro, which also does the user add. And they have patched user add to automatically add a group for whatever reason. So, and Mandrake also has a post uninstall macro, but it basically does nothing because it's always a bad idea to remove users or groups that you already have in your system because you have all the files belonging to the user, and if you add another user later on, maybe the user gets the same user ID and some has all the files he doesn't know about. So our macros, as Mandrake has this thing that it's automatically adding a group as well, you can only have one macro that does it, does the user end to add and does also the group add. And yes, that's basically the Mandrake macro but with an added comment field because SUSE and Fedora have comments added as well and Mandrake doesn't do that. Okay, and it's Mandrake semantics here that no user ID or group ID can get specified but it's chosen by the user add program. But that shouldn't matter for the build service because you probably don't have any projects that are down on the system level so that you need specific UIDs, but you normally add projects that are on top of the working system, so it doesn't matter which UIDs get chosen. Okay, and the last one is, this is the most common one, adding an info file. SUSE again uses macros here and Mandrake as well. And that's land and almost look like the same, but SUSE has an infodir parameter here where I can specify the info directory to use. And Mandrake always installs in the main info directory. And Fedora, same thing as before. No macros, just code. Calls install info directly and here checks the argument from RPM if it's an update or a remove operation. And if it's a remove operation, it deletes the info file from the directory. So to bring the three distributions together, we propose again two new macros like this here. Info add, which adds an info file to, and where you can specify an info directory. So that again is different from Mandrake, and info del in the post uninstall script. And another thing to watch out for is that Mandriva uses BCF2 to compress main and info pages, and all the other distributions just use DSIP to compress the info pages. So you have to watch out that you use a macro in the file list, because otherwise RPM won't find the info file, won't find the info files. So we added two macros for this, as extension for manual pages and as extension for info pages. We expand to GZIP or BZ2, depending on the distribution. Okay. To conclude, what I just told you in this talk, you can use multiple repositories to set up your project to build for multiple distributions. And you have this repository search part support that you can use to merge different projects or to for your project needs. The build service can build for this. This is already true at the moment. The build service does indeed build for Debian already. We can it's set up to build for Debian and for RPM-based distributions. And for Debian, it uses the ESC file and the Debian subdirectory for the build. And if you want to build for RPM-based distributions, you have to provide a spec file. And build service picks the right one to use. Then I told you about the dependency expansion we have and what to do with the problems you can deal with here. You can get ambiguities or you can put in unwanted packages, and both can be dealt with on the project level, or if you want to affect all packages of the project, or on the package level if you just want to specify it for a single package. Okay, and the last part was about installation task. And our idea is standard installation tasks here need standard macros and define a set of standard macros for the most common tasks. Of course, if you have any ideas for new things we would like to add, feel free to tell us. We add anything, more or less anything, which makes sense to us on your demand. Okay, thanks for listening, folks. Any questions here? No? Come on.
Any communication yet with packages from Fedora or Mandriva, or is it planned to talk with them?
Yeah, sure.
Then those standard is useful if it's not
used. I mean, what we hope is, of course, that the macros I told you in the last part are picked up by the different distributions. So what sense does it make if we just provide you the build service and everybody else uses different stuff?
No, so it's planned to actually contact them to
Sure. I mean, why should they object? Why should they object to adding just a set of macros? It's just a couple of lines of code for them.
Still, I think worth asking the question.
Hmm?
It's still worth asking the question.
We'll ask them. No, sure.
One issue that I had was that you had in the spec files some of the RPM macros are actually being embedded in comments.
This build thing or what?
You know, in the spec file, you said per package, if you there are certain issues which can be reported in to the build system by using comments. Yeah, for ignore them. For example,
the ignore. I mean, RPM doesn't support the build ignore tag. It just say unon tag and abort the build, so I have to put a comment in front of it. because it's just meant for the build system, not for RPM.
No, I mean, my question is that basically you're breaking the standard because a comment is no longer a comment then.
No, I'm not breaking a standard. It's just a comment in the spec file.
So you should, I mean, the normal way to do it would be to just ignore all comments, right?
Is there RPM doesn't ignore, RPM ignores a comment and
yes, but you see, if for a build system, if you start embedding things in the spec file which are embedded in comments, then how does a different build system communicate with that? For example, if there are 40 other things that need to go in for a different build system, then the spec file is no longer portable.
The spec file is still portable. That's why there's a comment in it.
No, but what if the other build system also uses a similar comment and a hash and a well, and a bank?
It's a feature of that build system that doesn't exist in other build systems. So you don't do any harm. Because it's not breaking RPM, but it's not being interpreted by other build systems. That's your point. If you would use another build tool around it, wouldn't understand this building.
The point is, if 2 years there are 10 build services which all use the same comment, then I can probably convince that to put it in RPM, and then it's a standard. But firstly, if you have that package standard, and I somehow have to do the job of telling the build service that the package doesn't get installed.
So have you asked the question, can we put this in RPM? Because the other build tags are in. Have you asked?
It said comment is no longer comment anymore, is it? What are the options that you discussed? What are the options that you discussed? What did you take this build? Was this actually discussed at some stage before it went into a comment? I know for a fact that the CPD format was taken apart. They were basically ripped up for having live information in the comment field. And you're basically doing the same thing now.
Currently, I have no other way, so I have to do it that way.
Is this open discussion?
No other way, but did you ask the RPM maintainer, can I add, let's add with my own
RPM maintainer.
Actually, I haven't dared to ask him.
The RPM maintainer does not care what we do with macros. He says that's for the distribution to find out. You can invent them yourself, you can use them yourself.
We're talking about the tech. We're talking about tag, not a macro. We're talking about tag, some build ignores colon, not a macro, not something.
But it's not like these tags never change or there are never any new ones.
Well, there's a fairly easy explanation for that. You can try to get it into RPM upstream to see where you're at.
Well, you have to try.
I mean, the normal way is you have to create a standard for something and then it gets put in RPM. I mean, isn't that?
But I think the actual reason you add something like a building course tag, there's instant legacy that's introduced, okay? Which creates, I mean, it's like adding a new construct to C, like a while loop or something like that. So adding it as a comment is all that's been possible. There is no way to change the syntax. There's also, since the spec file has no grammar, and there are some very unusual constructs with macro expansions that cross various parsing boundaries, it could be added fairly easily, but the adding introduces instant legacy, which creates all sorts of unhappiness. That's why it's never.
I know you have your reasons.
So.
Have you thought about meta language, which describes the build process of each package and generates spec files and...
Sure.
Yes?
Yes. Adrian mentioned that in his talk yesterday, but yes, we want to maybe share with a kind of spec file and DC file generator to debug. Sure. But this is, of course, something that you all can help us with your experience, because we don't have so much experience about other distributions. Probably you guys can.
Is the build system actually published as GPL? Can we get the code for this somewhere?
For what part?
For the entire part. Let's say I want to reproduce the build system at home.
We also had that in the talk yesterday. Most part, all the front end part and the AP part are already published as GPL. And the data part is the decision. I can't promise you anything. So the novel managers, the forces in place, have to decide what to do.
And what is
the build script itself will also be GPL. So you can do all the builds local, but the scheduler stuff and so is still under decision. So the scheduler is the part that figures out the order and starts the build. But
even worst case, if it's not open source by novel, we can write our own. It works with the same API.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of people here who speak about written on mobile systems. It's always good to share information to see what the other guys have to do. Basically, so that at the end of the day, if, for example, we could contribute code in here, so to make it work better with, for example, CentOS, or to work with Fedora.
No, this, as I said, the build script itself, that's all the building, is already will be launched next week, open source.
And
so, it's basically the. You know, so there's this build.rpm and the build script Henry told you about, and it's basically an advanced version of that. That is just, I haven't time to put it out yet.
What about, where do the discussions take place? I mean, is there a mailing list that we can get onto? Is there a wiki thing published somewhere? Or
we have him,
Open User Build Service. There's a wiki page build service where all the links to all the contacts are available. Simply search in the www.openuser.org wiki. For build service, you'll find it. And by the way, there's also, you can access the build service already via build.openuse.org. You get authorization pop up. We created a Fosnum account, login and password is Fosnum. So you can already access it via the website. Yes, now it works really, I promise. Now it works really.
What's about version dependency? If I want to build based on a particular version of the library, and I've got a search in through my search path, and I find a newer version in an earlier part of the path, what do I do?
I wish I could say now that the build service already does versioning and looks at the versions, but currently it doesn't, but it's easy to add. So it will be in a month or so when I have some spare time for this.
It will be simply
APIs, but it's if you have ambiguity to solve the ambiguities by adding and you want version, it may be Java greater than version 2 or so.
Yeah.
And if you have got two packages providing Java, then at the moment you have to use this build, ignore or just specify the exact one you need.
I'm also thinking different versions of the same package. If in your series of dependencies there were two versions of the same package at different levels.
If you have it just goes to the search path and the first one found their bins. So
would you ever have a situation where in that search path will be two different versions of the same?
In my experience, it doesn't happen in practice because we do something similar. And since I started working for SUSE, we have this auto-build system, and we always just went for the name and ignored the version. So it just doesn't happen.
Careful to avoid that.
It just doesn't happen in practice, as far as I know. But maybe you have some exotic project where it starts to happen, and then we have to be clever about it and add something.
Can you speak up, please, a bit?
Sorry, nobody can hear you.
Instead of having alternation of requires, like requires A or B, okay, what he does have is the ability to substitute. So he can put a marker there. And for distribution A, he'll require one certain name. And for distribution B, he'll require a different name. And that's usually the need for alternation of requires. You're requiring A or B. And I can't think of any other case where you would need alternation. I mean, probably somebody else can. But that's the major case, is just the namespace is unclean. And so you have to name a or a variant of A.
I need to come back to the example thing. The analog people would have to have some, ignore some packages of KDE that would be worth something. MREC is based on KDE and it's based on SUSE Linux, and the KDE project maybe contains a different GCC for whatever reason, but the MREC guys want to build SUSE Linux GCC. Then they would somehow have to specify that GCC should be taken from that project instead. And yes, maybe we can add a qualifier to that so you can somehow specify which project to use, but that would be again a new comment or so, because I can't put it in the normal requirements here.
I think one, just as one specific case, which kind of expands on what Alasdair and then Jeff said as well, would be kernel modules. I mean, is there any specific kernel module handling smartness, if you want to call it that, within the build system?
Not yet, no.
So if I want, for example, I want to push a module through, it should build for example, an SMP, a huge mem. I'm talking, of course, Fedora.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically be able to build for example, let's say the present kernel release and the last three kernel releases.
No, we don't. We open for suggestions here.
Because Fedora has done a lot of work on this already. It may be possible to pick up. If we could get access to source code, I'm sure there'd be at least a few people who'd be happy to work with making sure both sides work with the same thing.
Maybe we can, yes. You have to ask our management.
Because it's always been, I mean, everybody, it becomes a religious issue as to how to handle spec files for kernel modules.
Yeah, it changes from this version to version of the distributions as well, because now with 10.1 we have a completely different way to handle kernel modules, and we have with 10.0, so it's even right. In one distribution totally different from version to version. Yeah, of course, if you have some experience with some problems I didn't mention here, just feel free to tell us what you want to have added and what you think might make sense. And
sure, there is mailing list stuff, so we can all get onto it and see.
Yeah, would be nice. Yes. Okay, any other questions here?
Do you have a pointer where this is all documented? Is there a link?
Documentation, that's me. At
least a copy of the slides.
The slides will be already online, I guess. And I guess in a better format.
So that actually counts for all slides. You will find all slides of all talks on the respective OpenSUSE wiki user pages of the speaker, and we probably will link them from the Foster page. So that's opensuse.org/Foslin. That should bring it to
probably. Okay. Something else?
What is the scope of the cross-building tools? Can I build entirely different architectures, like reviving the SUSE distribution for Spark hardware?
If we would have some hardware for the build,
if you're doing a cross build lines, with the hardware.
We actually do something cross builds for ARM and so, but for Spark. And I mean, the problem is we're using for ARM, we're just using QEMU to emulate the hardware. And I think you need some kind of emulation, because all the auto build tools, the auto tools like the configure, so all you can do cross check. Development with them, but it's just by adding defaults for the architecture. So my opinion is that it doesn't work well in practice, so it's better to have the hardware and do the build checks for the stuff. So maybe if there's an emulator for Spark, we can obviously add Spark too. But currently we don't have any Spark hardware, we just have one host, but this will change hopefully in the very, very near future.
Is it what IP86 at the moment?
Sir?
What architectures can you build now at the moment?
Currently, you can just build for x86, 64 and Intel, but near future, PowerPC as well, and then the hardware we get, but it's I think it's pretty unlikely that we will have a novel gives us S390 for building or something like that. So
we can only use what is Hercules?
Hercules, yeah.
Did you get a fast enough i64
sure.
box? Hercules
sure.
is usable.
Sure, you can try it out.
That's not very quick though.
But you can of course use something like Ice Cream or so to build an engine.
Yeah,
the backend is faster, the actual compiling doesn't take on place on the build. Okay, questions? Nothing else? Thanks a lot.